It's been quite a long journey, but we've come to the end of this particular journey and the studying of the life of the Apostle Paul. I know that we haven't been able to cover all the details that the New Testament gives about the Apostle Paul's life, but we've hit most of the things in his life. Now, tonight, this will conclude our studies in the life of the Apostle Paul. We've pretty well studied a lot about his life, but tonight, I want to look with you at Paul's death and Paul's deliverance. So if you'll turn with me in your New Testament to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 6 through verse number 9. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. And share about the death and deliverance of the Apostle Paul. You'll recognize this as a portion of the two epistles that Paul wrote to Timothy while he was incarcerated there in Rome in the dungeon. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 6. Now here Paul tells Timothy he's ready to go. His time is at hand. He knows he's not going to live very much longer. Here's where he writes with great compassion and great passion. He says in verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me." Here Paul's back in Rome again, incarcerated again. You know, I've thought a lot about the situation of Paul, you know, making all those trips and back, and he finally gets to Rome. If you were going to visit Rome today, anybody, if you'd have a travel brochure, and you'd look over all the sites that you'd want to visit, if you went to Rome, no doubt on the top of those travel brochures, you'd see things like, well, you really need to visit the Sistine Chapel. And look up at that beautiful ceiling of all those murals that were painted there. Beautiful things. You'd want to visit the Sistine Chapel. And probably most people would want to visit the Vatican to some degree, to where the Pope lives. I don't particularly would think I'd want to go there, but nonetheless, a lot of folks would. But there's one place I can almost assure you that you would never find on a travel brochure of anyone going to Rome. And I'll tell you where that place is. It's the dungeon where the Apostle Paul lived out his last days, and he died there. Very few people indeed would ever want to go down that back street and go to that dirty place and have to bend low and go through a short doorway down into a dungeon that's musty, dark, cold, and damp, and see the place where the Apostle Paul spent his last days. Well, that's the main place I'd want to go if I went to Rome. If I ever visited Rome, that would be the very place that I'd want to go. But this dungeon that Paul spent his last days in had absolutely zero facilities for hygiene. It was a stone-walled, stone-floored, damp, dark, dirty, musty cell with a small iron gate in the top that only let in just a few rays of sunshine for just a few hours for the day, and a huge iron gate that locked in the person. Those walls in that dungeon, when Paul got there again, were stained with blood and stench on the floors of many others who had been there and spent their last days in the same dungeon that Paul was in now. This is called the Roman Maritime Prison. I want us to try to go there, at least in our minds tonight, and review some of Paul's experiences in his last days on this earth. Now, It's from this cell that Paul, now think about it, Paul, the one who wrote the most of the New Testament, Paul, the apostle who went around the Mediterranean area starting churches, it was Paul who took the gospel to the Gentiles first. It was Paul who was the greatest New Testament missionary of all. This Paul is now in this cell spending his last days. How can you look at the life of Paul and remain the same? We've studied a lot about Paul's life, seen a lot of things happen to the Apostle Paul. And how can you study a man's life like this and your life be the same? Let's look at his death. And let's look at his ultimate deliverance together. Three things I want you to see, first of all. I want you to see Paul's confinement here in the Roman maritime prison in a dungeon. Now, Paul has spent 2 years in Rome, and he'd had a rented house. He'd been pretty much primarily free for those to come and go to visit Paul in a hired house at his own expense for 2 years. And at the end of these 2 years, Paul is now summoned to see Caesar. He's Nero at this point in time. Nero's a Caesar. So he's called before Caesar, and we don't know, we'll probably never know, lest we get to know in heaven, but we don't know what Paul's defense was when he was summoned to visit and appear before Nero, the ruling Caesar of that day. He appeared, and we do know this. Caesar freed Paul. After 2 years in house arrest, appeared before Caesar, and then Caesar declared him free. Amazing. Paul's now a free man. Paul now leaves and he goes to meet Titus in Crete, enjoying fellowship again with those of his precious friends, Philemon, Onesimus. He met them, reunited with them, and he met Timothy at Ephesus. Paul's new freedom now only lasted a few more years. Not very long. Sooner than expected, Paul was arrested again at Troas. And once again, Paul's dragged back in chains to Rome and again incarcerated, confined, if you will, in that same Roman maritime prison dungeon. So here he is alone again in the prison. I've tried to imagine the horrible condition or conditions under which Paul had to live those last days in that dungeon. Well, what stories those stone walls and floor could tell of all the horrible atrocities that had taken place in that dungeon where now Paul is incarcerated again. And you see, it's in here, in this Roman maritime dungeon prison, that Paul writes his last epistles, 1st and 2nd Timothy. If you've ever read 1st and 2nd Timothy, if you haven't, allow me to encourage you to read them. And when you read 1st and 2nd Timothy, you know where they were written. You know what under conditions they were written. Paul was in prison in this horrible dungeon awaiting certain death. What great compassion and what great passion, what great tenderness you find in these two epistles that Paul wrote here in the Roman prison before his execution. Well, could you imagine Paul in the prison? Older now, his life so scarred from all the torture that Paul had been through. Been over, no doubt. But look at Paul in the prison. Strangely, Paul's content. You don't find Paul bitter. You don't find Paul blaming someone. He expresses no regrets for where he had been, what he had faced, and what he was facing now. Imagine Paul in that cell writing with his own crippled hands these two epistles to Timothy. As that little bit of dusty light came through that top grate in that cell, only for a short period of time, Paul in his own hand wrote these two last epistles to Timothy. Here Paul sits in this cell, shackled, deserted. Yet you see no signs of self-pity in the life of Paul, do you? None whatsoever. Paul knows this is his last confinement. Paul knows he will not be freed again. Paul knows the executioner's axe is going to be coming soon. So he must write quickly to Timothy, and so he sets about writing these two epistles to his dear son, Timothy. Here Paul, imagine him again, the aged prisoner in Rome, suffering, deserted, despised, condemned, soon to face death. Paul looks older than he really is because of all the beatings, torture he's been through. Paul's now completely white-headed and a snow-white beard. Here sits Paul in the darkness, writing 1st and 2nd Timothy. I can imagine Paul just kind of crouching. Maybe this is a little grate up here. I can just imagine Paul crouching under that grate where you get the most light, and Paul begins to write with his own free hand the epistles that you find here in 1st and 2nd Timothy. Timothy, his dearest friend, his dear son, he says in his writings to him. His son in the faith, he says. From Paul's confinement, now let's move a little farther and see Paul's commitment unto the very end in Paul's life. He wrote 1st and 2nd Timothy in the prison. We know that everybody else had deserted Paul but Luke, the physician. So Paul writes 1st and 2nd Timothy, and he gives these two epistles or letters, and he gives them to Luke with directions to deliver them to Timothy. And Luke absolutely, with his life, delivered those two epistles, and he gave them to Timothy. Could you just imagine the reaction that Timothy faced when Timothy got those two letters and he opened them up and he began to read? How Timothy must have had to choke back the tears in his own heart when he opened up the letter and it began, "To Timothy, my beloved son." Paul writes with such compassion, such tenderness. The text we've read to you here is just a small portion of that compassionate two letters that he wrote to his dear, beloved son, Timothy. Paul knew he'd never be free again. Paul knew he'd never come away from Rome alive again. He would never again be able to cross the Mediterranean Sea. He'd never again be able to visit not one church he had founded. He'd never again be able to take the gospel to a place that had never heard the gospel before. Paul would never again do those wonderful things that he had done so many times. He says in verse 6, listen at it again, "For I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Paul said he knew his life was now going to be soon poured out unto God as a drink offering unto the Lord. So he pleads to Timothy and he says, "Timothy, please try to come before winter. I can't imagine Paul spending the winter in a horrible place like that. Now, we don't know if Timothy got to see him before winter or not, but we know Timothy did come. You see, nobody wants to die alone. Even the Apostle Paul didn't want to die alone. Timothy, try to come before winter if you possibly can. And old Timothy, by the way, when you come before winter, if you get here, bring John Mark with you. Isn't that wonderful to hear Paul say that? What a time he'd had with John Mark. He'd first of all condemned John Mark because he wasn't faithful. And then he accepted him later on, and now he says, Timothy, would you bring John Mark with you? He's profitable now for the ministry. Oh, Timothy, when you come, there's a couple things I wish you'd bring me. I'm telling these things from 1 and 2 Timothy. You need to read them for yourself. He said, Timothy, when you come, would you bring me two things? Timothy, would you bring me, first of all, my cloak? When Paul was arrested in Troas, he didn't have time to gather up his possessions. They jerked him away in chains. So he said, Timothy, when you come, would you bring me my cloak? How he would need that cloak in that dungeon. As wintertime approached and it was cold and damp and hard and dusky, he'd need that cloak to help keep him warm. He said, Timothy, would you bring my cloak? And old Timothy, while you're at it, would you do this? Would you bring me the parchments? You know what he meant? Bring me my portion of the Word of God. Timothy, I need the Word of God. Paul's commitment as a student of the Word lasted until his dying day. Timothy, I need the Word of God. If Paul needed the Word of God so much in a dark, dusty prison waiting death, how much more do we need God's Word today? How amazing, how comforting God's Word is. Timothy, try to bring them if you can. And then he began to share with Timothy in these two epistles some things that Timothy was going to have to face after Paul had gone on to be with the Lord. What a heavy mantle Paul was going to lay upon Timothy before he died. And I want to tell you, read them. Read those epistles. And you'll find Timothy stood up like Paul, stood strong. And Timothy was reportedly bludgeoned to death for his stand for the Lord Jesus Christ later on. But here he writes to Timothy. And he said, Timothy, you're going to have to minister to a crooked and a perverse generation. Timothy, things are going to get harder and harder and harder. Timothy, the days are going to come when people will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. The day is going to come, Timothy, when they're going to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, wanting to hear what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. And Timothy, by the way, you're going to have to endure hardness as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Timothy, it's going to get worse than what it is today. You could take what he wrote to Timothy and splatter across the front lines today, 20 centuries later. We're seeing the very things that he told Timothy that he is going to have to face in the days to come. What a great man of God. Timothy said, you're going to see some hard days. They're not just going to be difficult days. They're going to be savage days. Beloved, we're living in days like this. 20 centuries later, how up to date, how amazing the Word of God is, how accurate the Word of God is. It's on time, amen? It is indeed. As Paul looked up through that grate, I imagine what Paul imagined Timothy was going to have to face in his ministry after all that Paul had already faced. And Timothy now is going to have to take up the mantle and carry on for the Lord in his days. what days Paul talked about would be proclaimed as headline news just today. You see how committed Paul was to the Word of God, to the ministry, to serving the Lord Jesus, to helping others such as Timothy and many, many others, starting churches, being a good missionary, taking the gospel where nobody else would dare go. What a committed man he was, and a great student of the Word of God until he died. Timothy said, "I know I'm finished. I'm done. My departure is soon to be at hand." I want you to see with me as much as we can share, not just his confinement, not just his commitment. I want you to see Paul's glorious coronation. Paul would soon hear the feet of Roman soldiers coming down that cobblestone street. And he would soon hear a key go into that old door and unlock the cell. Paul, still there in shackles, he would soon see and meet and greet face to face a battalion of Roman soldiers. And along with those Roman soldiers would be the executioner, the man with the axe. And along with those soldiers would be other men, Roman soldiers, with rods, with which once again they would beat Paul one more time before he dies. And so Paul hears them coming. Every step he hears, he knows, brings it closer and closer to his death. His brutal death, if you will. It might have been in those last hours when he wrote verses 7 and 8. Look at them again in 2 Timothy 4. He says, "Timothy, I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing." These were some of Paul's last words that he ever wrote in this dark cell. Paul's end came pretty swiftly, came pretty abruptly, and came when Paul was alone. But I want you to notice something without fear. When they came to get the Apostle Paul out of that cell, Paul faced his squad of executioners. He faced them square in the face with no fear. And you know, I would just imagine, as they marched Paul out of that cell, Paul had a smile on his face. I feel sure that he did. Well, Paul knew the executioner's axe was sharp. He knew the beating was near. They marched Paul out to a place where there was a pillar. It's a place of sacrifice, actually. And when they got there, they stripped Paul naked. And they made him kneel facing that pillar to expose his back and his neck. And those Roman soldiers beat Paul with rods the last time he'd ever be beaten. And with Paul's back and neck bloody, the executioner's axe came down with a swift blow, hitting its mark, and Paul's head rolls off into the dust. Paul, the old, shackled, ragged, dirty prisoner, was not ashamed. He was not deserted by God. He said, "Everybody else has left me. Demas has forsaken me, living the world. Only Luke was with him as far as he could go." And in that moment, when when the executioner's axe came down and severed Paul's head from his body. Paul's soul was immediately set free. He experienced what he wrote when he said, "To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord." And the Apostle Paul was home at last. Amen.